Welcome to our third and final hour. My name is Jim Rome. You're in the jungle, and this show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next segment, Will Brinson, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Phone lines are open now. 1-800-636-8686. So JJ in Kansas City called up last hour and said, "Hey, Rome, just want you to know, we have the inaugural Jungle Open. It's taking place in Omaha. 30 of us are going to show up and play." It seems like a lot of you are not impressed. Seems like a lot of you are here to crack these guys. The Suave Canuck tweets, "Hey, guys, let's get a golf trip going. Myrtle Beach, Scottsdale, San Diego, Vegas. Nope. Let's all head to Nebraska. Yours, all those losers on this trip." They're in middle America. They're in the Midwest. Omaha's fine. Hey, Suave Canuck, have you been to Nebraska? Or are you just killing something you know nothing about? Benny in Wisco tweets, "We don't want to travel to Nebraska to compete either. Regards, professional sports teams." And Paulie T. Wall tweets, "Muscle Shark. Sounds intriguing. Signed, Jim McElwain." Somebody called at the end of last hour, and I thought I had his name right. Kurt in Michigan. He corrected me. He's not Kurt in Michigan. He's the Muscle Shark. Let's go to Michigan. Kurt is on line one, and he's in Michigan. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
What's up, Jim? That's the Upper Michigan, and it's the Muscle Shark calling you.
He not only corrected me on his name, but also on his locale. It's not Michigan, it's Upper Michigan, and it's not Kurt, it's the Muscle Shark. That's like, "Hey, Jim, it's not Argel, it's Argel." Anyway, we don't have very many rules on this program, but one of the only rules we do have is you do not self-gloss. So now, Muscle Shark, you've joined a very elite fraternity. Meet all your other members.
Levi the Trash Man.
It's Iceman.
Lonnie Carter in Spokane.
Bighorn from Windsor, Ontario.
They call me the bowling ball here in Tampa.
Jay Dizzle.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Go by the name of Shot Callers.
The Clone Prophet.
This is the Grump.
This is the Grouch.
Moldoggy in NorCal, East Bay to be exact.
The Dougler. I'm from the city of Fad Diets and Yoga Pants.
The Zookeeper.
Oh, good gloss. Where did that come from?
At a buddy's wedding.
So you gotta call me Rooster.
Actually, this is Garbage Man, Brad.
Not Jonathan, it's Jeff.
My boys call me the Cracker Jack.
G-Money.
Actually, they call me Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
They call me the Red Dog.
Let's go with Horse Monkey today.
On the court, they call me the Tree Frog.
This is G-Money, Rackney James.
All right, Dave, see you, bud. Wait a minute, G-Money? He's went so close.
Dr. B-Man, SD. Bow down.
You could call me Z-Man.
Yes, hey, Jim Rump. Actually, it's Titan Woman.
His silly rabbit.
It's actually not Barry. My friends call me the... Ooh, Barracuda.
And it's the Muscle Shark calling you.
I don't care what your boys call you. I don't care what your friends call you. I don't care what your family calls you. I don't care what your teammates call you. We call you by your name. And if you earn gloss here, then you have it. But until you earn it here, it doesn't matter. Man, I have to admit, though, that must have been some kind of wild-ass wedding if somebody glossed you the Zookeeper. What do you think went down at that wedding? I think we all have an idea. But we'll never know for certain because Alvin brought the hammer down before he could say what it was. Do not self-gloss. Have a take, don't suck, and don't self-gloss. It's not that hard. All right, so for the moment, everybody keeps saying, "Man, Rome, man, I wish the Zookeeper could have finished this story. Man, that must have been some kind of wild night." So from the moment that Paul George was dealt to the Clippers, the Oklahoma City Thunder were on the clock. Now, not on the draft clock for that massive haul of picks, but on the Russell Westbrook trade clock. Because there's no way you keep this guy. I know what he means to that team. I know what he means to that city. I know how long he's been there, how well he's played, how the guy was still good for a triple-double a night last season. But keeping him right now makes no sense. Not when everything about them is about collecting first-round picks for the future. Not when they owe him $171 mil over the next four seasons. That's right. $171 mil for the next four seasons, including a player option of $47 mil in 22-23. On the surface, it would seem to make absolutely no sense to trade James Harden, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook within years of each other. But at the same time, once you've traded Paul George, what's the point in keeping a soon-to-be 31-year-old like Russell Westbrook around? What, so you can watch him average a triple-double again next season on a team that's going to get knocked out in the first round? This is why it was absolutely no shock to see this tweet from Woj. Quote, story filed to ESPN. In aftermath of Paul George's departure, OKC star Russell Westbrook is welcoming the idea of Sam Presti engineering a trade that would bring an end to his illustrious 11-year Thunder tenure. Miami's expressed interest, a destination that appeals to Westbrook. Let me just say, that's a destination that appeals to Rome as well. Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook on the same team. Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook in the same locker room. That would be either the greatest combo ever or the worst combo ever. Either way, it's awesome. And that's not smoke either. That's not just smoke. According to the report, Westbrook and his agent are talking with the Thunder about the different options when it comes to ending his time there. And Miami is definitely in the cards. Westbrook is interested in going there. The Heat are interested in having him there. And I am interested in doing whatever I can to help facilitate that move. I know what you're thinking. Hey, Rome, you don't root. You say it every single day. So why are you rooting so hard for Russ to go to Miami? Hey, Rome, what about Detroit? Detroit's been mentioned as a possible landing spot. What do you have against the Pistons, Rome? Nothing. I've got nothing against the Pistons. Dwayne Casey is one of my favorite coaches in the NBA. But this runs a lot deeper than that. Like when Jimmy Butler went to the Heat, I feel like the world missed an opportunity. Putting Butler and his passion into that cauldron in Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden would have been incredible. You know, that whole give me an A or give me an F thing? That definitely would have been one of the two, and probably an F. It would have been a home run or a strikeout, and probably a backwards K. And there was no way there were going to be any doubles there. So when that didn't happen and Butler ended up taking his talents to South Beach, I was disappointed and we all lost. But the possibility of Butler and Westbrook together in Miami, that would be awesome. And that would redeem Butler going to Miami. Sign me up for it. Because they could be exactly what each other needs. A guy who's passionate, fired up, speaks his mind, and battles. Or they could be exactly what the other guy doesn't need. A guy who's passionate, fired up, speaks his mind, and battles. If those two get on a roll, look the hell out. If those two hit a losing streak, look the hell out. What I'm saying is, I couldn't love this idea any more than I do. Except, there is one idea that I love even more. And I love it so much, I don't even want to talk about it. Like tomorrow's podcast guest, I love so much I don't want to talk about this idea because I don't want to jinx either one of those things. Kind of feels like talking during a no-hitter. But you know what? I'll do it because I'm not afraid of jinxing it. And in fact, I want to speak it into existence. The only thing better than Russell Westbrook teaming up with Jimmy Butler in Miami is Russell Westbrook teaming up with Chris Paul and James Harden in Houston. And according to reports, that also may be a possibility. I mean, there is that obvious salary issue, but if anybody can figure that out, it's Daryl Morey. You imagine the Beard? Think about this. The Beard, CP3, and Russ. The Beard, CP3, and Russ together. If CP3 is getting bent about how the Beard plays, can you imagine CP3 trying to deal with how the Beard and Russ play together? Now, that sounds like the best thing ever. If it's not, I know it's the best thing ever for the Rockets. The Clippers just added two MVP candidates. The Lakers have two of their own. It's an arms race in the West. And you know Morey is not going to back down from that. He never backs down from anything. I don't know if Russ, James, and Chris can beat LeBron and AD or Kawhi and PG. I just know I've got to see it. I've got to have it. Houston has to make that happen because it's either going to work and end in a parade or it's going to fail and end with a smoking crater. And either way, we win. Either way, it works. The only thing better than sticking Russ in the same locker room with Jimmy Butler is sticking Russ in the same locker room with CP3 and the beard. Truth is, not only do I want that, I'm not sure I've ever wanted anything as much as I want that. And if anyone can make that happen, it's Daryl Morey. Man, time to go to work, D. Time to do some work. Russ, CP3, and Butler. I learned something also early on in college, in communication studies, that you don't want to have three kids. You never want to have three because it's, quote, always a dyad plus one. In other words, it's always two ganging up on the other. You know how that would go. Imagine Russ and the beard ganging up on CP3. CP3 standing in the middle of the court, glaring these guys down after the officials and the opposition. Man, I want that so badly. Russ and the beard and CP3 and one basketball. Best thing ever. Come on, Daryl, make that happen. They got to move this guy. You can't keep Russ around. He's going to turn 31, making that kind of money. You've got all those draft picks. So for who? For what? So he can kill himself, get another triple-double, have his shooting percentage drop down to the low 20s, and have them go out in the first round? Dear Jim, Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler are both good players. Apple pie and pumpkin pie are both good desserts, but that doesn't mean they will be better if you mash them up and eat them together. Thanks, Drew in West LA. As always, Drew, a picture-perfect analogy. Bro, you are smart. You're right. They probably wouldn't be better if you mashed them up and ate them together. Which is why we want them to play together, Drew, to see what happens. Hey, Rome, maybe they should throw the home run derby in a bag of rice. That'll fix it. Whoever came up with that concept, has a bag of rice ever fixed a soaked cell phone? Not one that's been in the water for more than a minute. That phone's still in that bag of rice a week later. It's not working. When we return, Will Brinson joins us. Now, I mean, I'll even turn that into a question for you. Should the Thunder move Russ Westbrook? And where should they move him? And if you're an opposing team, would you take that contract on? Would you take that contract, that player, that personality, and what he brings to it as he turns 31? Do you want that? Who makes the most sense? All of that's coming up, but we talk some football next with Will Brinson. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Will Brinson coming up momentarily. Got something for you, Tiger Woods honks, too. You know, he might be all right. He might be in a good spot. He might be properly positioned for a run at a second major and his 16th overall. Based on what he did on social media yesterday, he'd lead you to believe that he's in a good spot. That's coming up. Meantime, I want to talk some football. We are joined right now by a good friend of the program. He is a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, and yes, a real good friend of the program. Will Brinson is my guest. Good to have you, Will. How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? Hope all's well in this dead period of the summer.
It's all good. And the best thing is, it's no longer a dead period, right? There's so much going on, NBA offseason, NFL offseason, the All-Star break right now. Let's talk some football. Let me start with the Falcons, Will. Julio Jones told TMZ that he's going to take the Falcons at their word that they'll take care of a new contract. And as a result, he is not going to hold out. What's your reaction to that news?
Well, a couple reactions, Jim. One, why does Julio Jones only talk to TMZ, and why does he only talk to them at airports? And how did they even realize it was Julio Jones when he's wearing a hoodie? It was very impressive work by the Atlanta area TMZ people. And two, I would say to Julio that you can be a little hopeful that Arthur Blank will you know, pay up as he promised, because you're Julio Jones. You've averaged almost 1,600 receiving yards the last 5 years. You're a dominant freak of nature who destroys everything in his path when it comes to catching footballs. But I would warn Julio and any NFL player that, as CBA negotiations loom, that maybe it's best not to take the owner's word for it when it comes to getting paid. If they did that, they would probably all have guaranteed contracts and be much less concerned about the future of labor negotiations. Now, that being said, I think Julio will probably get paid. I think it's a good time to pay him. He's got 3 years left on his deal, so you can, or, you know, 2 years left or whatever it is, you can extend him and get him to 5 years and maybe just say, all right, this will make him a Falcon for life. We can figure out the final few years of his career as needed down the road. He signed a pretty good deal, 5 years, $71 million back in 2015. Probably time to re-up and get him on that level of Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, all the other top-end wide receivers out there.
We're talking to Will Brinson, so bottom line that for me. If he does get paid what he's worth, and he's paid like the other top-end wide receivers, what kind of a contract are we talking about?
Well, I would say it depends on whether he wants to try and go with a full five-year new deal or whether it's just an extension. But I think we'd be looking at something that breaks the bank in terms of, or resets the market, so to speak. I mean, Antonio Brown got paid by the Steelers and then got repaid by the Raiders. Odell Beckham has sort of indicated, Jim, that he wants to be repaid by the Browns not very long after being paid by the Giants. And I think Julio Jones is in that group. And in fact, you could make the case that Julio Jones is better than those guys based on his performance on the field and his willingness to be a quiet, good teammate who, you know, only rarely scrubs his Instagram profile of all things Falcons. So, I would say we're looking at, probably something in the, $100+ million range, depending on how many years they want to tack on here.
Will Brinson is joining us. All right, Will, as long as we're talking about contracts, let's talk Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota for a minute. What are your thoughts about Tampa Bay and Tennessee having, or what thoughts are they having about their respective quarterbacks and their contracts right now as they enter their final years?
Jim, it's the ultimate nightmare if you're a franchise, because you spent a top two pick respectively on these players, right? 1 and 2 when they came out in that draft. And you are in absolute quarterback limbo because you can't have seen enough from either one of these guys to commit to a long-term deal. I mean, Marcus Mariota has been efficient and outstanding at times. He still flashes that athleticism. He can make precision throws. He went a very long time without throwing a red zone interception in his career. But he just doesn't have that. He hadn't shown that top-end ability to be a franchise quarterback and the guy you want to give, $30 million a year to. And so I think you need to see, if you're John Robinson, a healthy 16-game season. I think you want to see something in the neighborhood of 4,000 passing yards and something, in the range of 35 to 40 touchdowns to really feel comfortable going up top with Mariota. Even if he does that, I would anticipate they franchise tag him and try to figure something out down the road or make him prove it a second year. And then with Jameis, I mean, there's even more added to the mix because his highs have maybe been higher than Mariota, but his lows have been lower. He's got off-field issues dating back to Florida State. Hasn't been able to put it together over the course of a full 16-game season. And if it doesn't work with Bruce Arians, I don't know who it's going to work with, Jim, because – you talk about pairing, you look at Carson Palmer and how he thrived once he got paired up with Bruce Arians in Arizona. You can make the case that this is the perfect fit for Jameis Winston. Bruce Arians' motto is no risk it, no biscuit, and there's no bigger, just completely oblivious to chucking it down the field type of guy and he has no conscience when it comes to throwing interceptions than Jameis Winston. So in my mind, if you're the Bucs, what you need to see is a big-time season out of Jameis Winston, 16 games, no trouble off the field, leadership qualities in the locker room. And if he does that, you're probably looking at a franchise tag situation, but maybe you're willing to commit if you can buy low on him.
No risk it, no biscuit. Will Brinson joining us, one of my favorites. All right, so we're talking about off-field issues right now and high-end players. Zeke Elliott, the league announced that Elliott's not going to be suspended. What do you make of that decision and of Elliott's statement in response?
Yeah, it felt like as soon as that statement came out, Jim, that Zeke Elliott, you could tell it was like, hey, you might want to go out and apologize right now. You know, that's what he heard from Roger Goodell. And this is a pretty big win for the Cowboys in terms of their 2019 season and Zeke Elliott in terms of trying to prove that he deserves a contract for the long haul from the Cowboys. Now, whether they give it to him, that's a whole different ball of wax. This is a team that drafted two running backs, sort of surprisingly this year. Makes you wonder. I know the incident happened after that, but it makes you wonder what they think about Ezekiel Elliott and his ability to stay out of trouble over the long haul. Clearly, the NFL was willing to bring Zeke in and potentially say, hey, listen, man, we're going to suspend you again. I mean, he's in the danger zone now, Jim, where because he had that one suspension, because he's had this second incident, because he had some stuff dating back to his Ohio State days, where if he had something serious pop up again, he would be looking at a potential one-year banishment based on the NFL's personal conduct policy. Now, maybe that gets reworked in the next CBA, but I still think this is a guy, Zeke Elliott, where you got to tread lightly when you talk about his long-term ability to be on the field. When he plays, there's no one better at the position. He's led the league in rushing 2 out of his 3 years and only missed. He led the league in rushing yards per game the year he was suspended. So, I mean, we're talking about the best running back in football when he's on the field. He just hasn't shown an ability to do that. And I think the Cowboys dodged a major bullet here by not losing Zeke for multiple games.
We're talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, what about the incident? An incident which has video of Browns running back Kareem Hunt outside the Barley House in Cleveland. First off, what do you make of the incident? And then as a follow, if you're the Browns front office, what's your reaction when you hear there's been yet another incident involving Kareem Hunt?
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody in their 20s to stop going out at night because that would make me a complete hypocrite. But when you've got this sort of thing floating around you, if you're Kareem Hunt, you should lock yourself in a, like, go to, like, Dutch Pennsylvania country and lock yourself in a cabin for 6 months and wait until you're reinstated. And don't go near a club, whether it's Cleveland, Vegas, Cincinnati, Raleigh. Don't go to a club anywhere. Don't get near any booze. He admitted when he first got in trouble that alcohol probably played a role in these incidents. And, I don't want to ascribe intent as to what happened outside that nightclub, because for all we know, those guys were joking around and it wasn't a big deal. But the reality is, you are a public figure who has been popped by the NFL and popped by law enforcement for multiple issues involving alcohol and violence, usually later at night in situations. And so the best thing you can do if you're Kareem Hunt at your age, with your contract status, with your future in the league in jeopardy, is to stay away from all that stuff. And that's why it's so shocking to see it happen. And it makes you wonder, look, John Dorsey said there was going to be a zero tolerance policy with Kareem Hunt when they brought him into Cleveland. It seems like that might be maybe a not quite zero tolerance policy, because this would be, if this is a lesser player, Jim, he's gone. I mean, they're not going to put up with this. I think Kareem Hunt's talent is probably giving him a second or third chance here. But he needs to. He could be in for a world of hurt when it comes to his future in the league and future with the Browns if he has another incident.
Got a few more moments with Will Brinson talking NFL with him. Now, Will, of course, you are the leader of the Philip Rivers Army. In fact, you declared him the greatest quarterback in ACC history. Look, I've always had a ton of respect for Phil Rivers, both as a player and as a leader. For those who doubt him, lay out the argument as to why he is still underappreciated.
Yeah, I just think, Jim, one of the things that sets Philip Rivers apart is his toughness. This is the thing that people always forget, is that he played in an AFC championship game with a torn ACL. I mean, what player in the history of football has rolled out there the next week after tearing their ACL with no knee ligaments in place and then just gone out and played? And I'm not going to say they came that close to beating the Patriots in that game in New England, But, I mean, they gave a decent effort, and Phillip Rivers on, you know, basically one leg. It's pretty hard to do. And by the way, he didn't miss a single game. He was back at training camp the next year. I think no one is tougher when it comes to staying in the pocket, making throws down the field. He's never complained once in his career about the lack of weapons around him. And he's had some good stretches. LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, they had. But there was a time period there where the Chargers had nothing around him. They moved him to Los Angeles. I think that if I like to give him a little bit of Phil Mickelson action, Jim, because, you know, not just, you know, sort of goofy white dude who, you know, flops around and doesn't win anything right away. But, like, you look at Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady's his Tiger Woods. In another era, Phillip Rivers comes in and maybe wins a Super Bowl or wins two Super Bowls and is a lock for the Hall of Fame. But having to play in the same conference as Tom Brady for basically the entirety of his career, that's like having to play up against Tiger Woods head-to-head in golf. And so I think from that perspective, Rivers has really flown under the radar. People don't treat him as a surefire Hall of Famer, and he should be because he's the second best, if not maybe the best quarterback in that 2004 draft class.
All right, so finally, what kind of a season do you expect then from Rivers and the Chargers?
Well, I took the year off last year with my Chargers Super Bowl predictions, Jim, but I think I'm back. I'm back in full force. I'm going Chargers all the way. It's probably unlikely, but I think given the turmoil in that division with everything Kansas City's dealing with, some possible regression for Patrick Mahomes, the way that the Chargers have built out that defense, I think they should be the favorite. They're not the betting favorite in Vegas. They're like 2-1 to win the division. I think it's a really good bet to take the Chargers there. Not that I think the Chiefs will be bad. I just think they could take a step back. And I think this is really Los Angeles' year to make a leap forward. And if they can stay healthy going into the playoffs, I think they're a team that can make a run and maybe pull off a Super Bowl victory. So I'm making that bold prediction now, and I look forward to it being thrown in my face when it's wrong in November.
I love it. You got to do it. He's a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, good friend of the program, has always been on our TV shows too. Will Brinson, great job, Will. Good to have you back. Thanks for doing that.
Always a blast, Jim. Have a great day.
You too, Will. Have a great day. All right, we'll come right back. One last segment, and it's open. It's a long segment. It's wide open. Open phones. You want to react to anything you just heard? 1-800-636-8686. One more thing I want to get to. Tiger Woods. He got major number 15. Took down the Masters. Could he win the Open Championship? It's coming up. I saw something yesterday on social. I know a lot of you honks saw it too. Tiger's feeling good about Tiger. We'll break that down next, but first, here is your sports update that I promised. I mentioned that if you're a Tiger Woods fanboy or a honk, there may be something to be feeling good about right now. He got the Masters, number 15, has not played well since, but he took to social. Don't look now. The major season's already almost over in golf. Three down, one to go. Thanks to the PGA Championship jumping the line this year. The Open at Royal Portrush will put a bow on the Big Four next week. Now, in case you need reminding, let me run this down very quickly. Here are the three dudes who ripped golf's biggest tournament so far this year. Gary Woodland just won the U.S. Open at Pebble last month. Brooks Koepka successfully defended the Wanamaker at the PGA in May. And yes, Eldrick did win the Masters back in April. Remember that. The 42-year-old surgically rebuilt, dried out, former greatest stick ever, put it all together for a week at Augusta and did slip into his fifth green jacket. If something that happened 87 days ago feels like it happened 87 years ago, it's because the cat has pretty much been MIA since the Masters. Yes, he has played in three tournaments since Augusta, but two of them were majors, and the other one, of course, was Jack's event in Ohio. He's not going to miss those. We know this. Everything else, though, he's taken a pass on, and after he won his 15th major, he did not even pick up a bat before Bethpage. Went on to miss the cut one day after Brooks Koepka abused him in the same group by 9 strokes. The complete lack of tournament golf between the season's first two majors was perceived as a complete lack of preparation. And then when you consider that he played 5 times before the Masters, and he won. And then zero times between the Masters and the PGA, and he missed the cut. Then that theory about poor prep becomes less of a theory and more of a fact. So now the Open in Northern Ireland is next week. And again, Tiger is not bothered to play in any of the tournaments between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Naturally, all the same questions are hanging over him once again. Why is he not playing? Is he hurt? Is he tired? Is he only going to show up to a handful of events the rest of his career? Is he even going to make the cut a month after not playing tournament golf? Well, I think all those are fair questions, and we may now actually have some answers thanks to an extremely awkward video that was posted to Nike's Instagram feed yesterday. All of Tiger Honk Nation is straight up overdosing on their guy and his chances at another major all over again. Now, it doesn't take very much to get these honks all lathered up, but this video is straight up crack for Tiger fanboys. Listen as the cat rolls selfie video and explains to the world why he's awake at 1 o'clock in the morning in Florida.
Hey Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up! It is now 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. Why am I doing this right now? Because it is now 6 a.m. at Royal Portrush. I'll be playing the Open Championship there. And in order to be prepared for the time chase, I'm getting up. If you want to succeed, if you want to get better, if you want to win, you want to accomplish your goals, well, it starts with getting up early in the morning. Have a great day.
Corny! Man, what a weird flex. In an even stranger video, but all right. Hey, bro, maybe you turn that phone around for a second take. I mean, it's video. It's not live. You can reshoot that thing if you want. And you are aware that the Open Championship dropped the word British and not the word the, right?
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
I will be playing Open Championship there.
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
I will be playing Open Championship there?
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
The Open Championship.
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
I mean, don't you look at that video back and say, hey, let me do that again.
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
And why do you start off by addressing Nike and telling them your golf schedule? I'm pretty sure Nike knows where their most famous and most profitable golfer is playing next week.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up!
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up!
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up!
If the video sounds weird and dopey, it looks even more weird. Dude's wearing a backwards TW hat and a sleeveless workout shirt at 1 o'clock in the morning. So either he sleeps in a lid and gym gear, or he's been up for a minute. Now, naturally, the honks in the comments section are eating this thing up. They're saying things like, quote, it's over. Give this man the jug. Another one said, quote, Tiger, buy a million. And best of all, quote, goat, gonna goat. They're saying things like that. And I'm saying things like, why? Why the hell are you doing a body clock adjustment in Florida when you can just hop a bird to Ireland and do it right there and not be living in some alternate time zone where you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 6 p.m. I mean, you know what's easier than adjusting for Ireland in Florida? Adjusting for Ireland in Ireland. I mean, to each their own, I guess. But if it's me and I've got the resources that the cat has, I'm going over there right now and not subjecting my family to self-induced insomnia hours. It's not like this guy's playing any golf right now or anything. What else does he have to do other than get on an airplane? Go to bed, cat. The sleep deprivation has you tweaking hard. Or just get on an airplane. Just don't do neither. Because right now you have all your fans pulling all-nighters, acting even more ignorant than they already are. Oh, and is it just me? But every time I hear Eldrick say, hey, and then quickly follow it up by, it's Tiger. Hey, it's Tiger. What do you think when you hear that? Hey, hey, it's Tiger. Don't you think of that one voicemail that he left that one side piece?
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and may be calling you. So if you can, please take your name off that. And just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you got to do this for me. Huge, quickly. All right, bye.
Man, that is awkward. But that's how he started that video that was on Nike's Instagram. Hey, 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 it's Tiger. Hey, hey, side piece, it's Tiger.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Hey, hey, side piece, it's Tiger.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Hey, 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 Perkins waitress, it's Tiger.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Hey, skank, it's Tiger.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
The only thing missing on that message was... huge, quickly, bye. At the end. Hey, hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Yeah,
hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Wake up. Hey, yeah, that'd be huge, quickly, bye. Hey, 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 it's Tiger. Hey, extra piece, wake up!
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Erase that message, fast, quickly, hi, go, hurry, bye.
Wake up.
Wake up, side piece.
Wake up.
Wake up, Perkins waitress. Wake up. She's calling you now. Hurry.
Wake up. Wake up.
Get up. Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. She's calling. Wake up.
Wake up. Wake up.
Quickly. Bye.
Wake up.
Perkins. Side piece. Skank.
Wake up.
Wake up. Quick. Quickly.
Wake up.
Huge. Bye.
Wake up.
California? My man, it was a while ago. But that's burned into our domes. It's never going away. Maybe it's time to start mixing up your hellos. Quickly. It'd be huge.
Wake up.
Bye.
Huge.
But you know what, though? It's not fair to single him out. As bad as the cat is at social media, and he is pretty horrible, just look at that. He's still not worse than his huckster buddy, Hefty.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of Fireside with Phil, where I share with you some stories that have taken place throughout my career that I think you might find interesting. My first story took place during the Memorial Tournament. I'm on the sixth hole, and the tour official is cutting a new hole, but we haven't finished our round yet. We have to play to the same hole location. Someone took a dump in the cup. Very well, then, carry on.
You don't have time to wax your car? New 303 touchless sealant will save you hours. It takes minutes to apply. You simply spray on and you rinse off. And it protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. It is available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Man, can't the Twitter purge take these dudes off the platform? Both of them? Thanks to John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. Terry Stotts, Trailblazers head coach.